from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. April is approaching, which means rent, mortgage payments, and property taxes are due. It's also the first new month since the state's shelter-at-home order began and many lost paychecks. We look at how the coronavirus has impacted housing and what resources are available to tenants and landlords. Then, counting all Californians for the 2020 census was already going to be tough. The pandemic has made it even tougher. We look at the adjustments being made to reach hard-to-count populations and help the state get the representation and funding it needs for vital services. Join us after this news. Welcome to statewide special coverage of the coronavirus from KQED. I'm Mina Kim. As April approaches, tenants whose incomes have evaporated amid the state's closures still have to come up with monthly rent, and landlords and homeowners still have mortgage payments due. Some elected officials have called for a moratorium on evictions and for landlords to freeze rental payments. Four of the nation's five largest banks have agreed to delay mortgage payments and suspend foreclosures for California homeowners for up to 90 days. Amid the fear and uncertainty about housing, we look at what relief and resources are available to landlords and tenants. And we also look at the impact on the housing market. We're joined by Molly Solomon. She's housing affordability reporter for KQED News. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Mina. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And Lewis Hansen is with us. He's a housing reporter for the San Jose Mercury News. Thanks for joining us, Lewis.
Happy to, Mina.
And so I'm going to start with you, Molly, and I know you've been talking to a lot of tenants. What have they been telling you about their situation as April looms?
Yeah, I mean, we are, you know, less than a week away from April 1st, which is really the first time we're going to see people having to pay rent in a situation where a lot of folks have been out of work for a long time. So I spoke with several people recently who are really feeling that, you know, people who haven't been working for, you know, 12 days now. And they are kind of not sure what to do. Essentially, they haven't been just getting reduced hours. They've been getting no income coming in. And they've got other expenses to pay. So, you know, people are going to have to make choices right now. I spoke with a woman who cleans houses in Concord, and she said all of her business has completely dried up, and her husband has also not been able to work. He was in housing construction, and she told me, you know, like, I've got a family of four, we've got bills coming up, and if I have to make a choice of paying rent or paying for food for my family, like, I'm gonna choose food right now. So I think those are the hard decisions that tenants are making and just feeling real stress and anxiety right now and not really knowing what to do.
And tenant advocates, they've called for a statewide moratorium on evictions. But it's been at this point something that cities have either implemented or counties have implemented. Do you have any sense as to why Newsom was reluctant to do that, or has been at least up until now?
Well, you're right. So a lot of tenants' rights groups have really been pushing, including a lot of California state lawmakers, for some sort of statewide eviction ban while this health crisis is going on. You know, we have a statewide shelter in place right now, which has meant that a lot of people aren't able to go to work, that their businesses have closed temporarily, and a lot of businesses have had to lay off people. So I think under those conditions, you know, there has been that push for Newsom to do something bolder and to make a statewide moratorium. What he has done is essentially authorized cities and counties, you know, over 500 across the state of California, to basically take it upon themselves to pass their own eviction moratoriums. So that's created this patchwork system where different places, depending on where you live, may have passed eviction bans. And all of them are a little bit different and varying in strength. And it's a little bit unclear as to why Newsom hasn't done that. He has said in press conferences that there are some legal clarifications that he's working out. He's put a team together that he says are working day and night to, you know, figure out what those might be. But it's unclear whether he's actually going to come out with some sort of, whether it's an eviction ban or a rent freeze. We just don't know that right now.
So basically, it sounds like if you're a renter who doesn't think you can make your rent this month, you really need to check with your local, either your city or county, to see what they have put in place.
Yes, and a lot of people are saying you should already be in communication with your landlord. If you are somebody that does not think that they're going to make rent on April 1st, you know, tenants' rights attorneys have said you should not wait. Call your landlord, document it, write to them, and explain your situation, especially if you are somebody that has had reduced hours or isn't working right now because of the coronavirus outbreak that we're in.
And again, Molly Solomon is KQED's housing affordability reporter. And we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you are struggling to pay for your housing costs, what are you facing? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Also, what are your questions about the benefits or resources that might be available to you? Or even if you have broader questions about what's just happening in the housing market, the number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. And Lewis Hansen of the Mercury News, I mean, tell us about the situation that you're seeing among landlords. What has your reporting found?
Landlords have been generally sympathetic to what's going on and the duress that their tenants are under. The California Apartment Association, which represents the largest corporate property owners in the state, has urged its members to work with tenants and to give them certain 60-day breaks on payments to refinance it later, so to defer rent, not to waive it altogether. And I was speaking to the president of the Apartment Association this week, and he said about 90% of their members are following these guidelines. So they're saying no evictions, giving some leniency on payments, and really working with the people who are affected by the virus. Smaller landlords are in a tighter position, but they're also encouraging their tenants who are struggling to work through it, call their landlord, talk through it, and they can arrange some payment schedule that works when people are back and working.
Has the California Apartment Association given a time frame for how long they think landlords should do this?
So far, they have been looking out about 2 months, you know, a lot of the large property owners are using that as a general guideline. You know, landlords generally don't like moratoriums on paying rent and eviction, but they're understanding this time around. They would prefer to have a statewide policy, but now they're just dealing with a patchwork. There's about 60 counties and cities across the state that have some sort of emergency rent protection. So it covers an awful lot of people in the state, and including all the big cities from San Diego, Los Angeles, San Jose, San Francisco, and Oakland is going to be considering it on April 7th. So a lot of people are covered with it. As Molly said, talking to your local representatives, getting in touch with your city or county is a good way to understand what your rights are as a tenant.
Well, we've got calls coming in, and I'm going to start with George in Mountain View. Hi, George.
Hi. I wanted to point out that you had a representative for the large landlords. There are smaller landlords, and we're happy to work with tenants. But, you know, our rent isn't just in our pocket so we can have better drinks at the bar. In our case, we're using the income from our rentals to support a family member who can't really work, who's basically disabled. So it's great if we can give a tenant a break, that's great. We all are all watching the news, but, you know, the money goes for a purpose. It's not just extra money that tenants can take out of our pocket for no reason, or because they're having trouble. We're having trouble too. You know, our expenses are going because this family member is becoming more disabled. So the money is going, you know, it has other purposes other than just making our bank account larger. It doesn't. It goes to supporting other people who also depend on that rent for their livelihood.
George, thanks. And Lewis Hansen is with the Mercury News. He has mentioned that there have been a couple of big property owners that have been able to implement this thing. But yes, it is harder for smaller landlords. And Lewis Hansen, we're hearing about these mortgage forbearance offers. I mean, how much of a help is that to landlords?
It doesn't seem like it's much of a help, especially in California. The mortgage forbearance by Fannie and Freddie, the federal loan backing programs, really apply only to single-family homes. So they're not for your duplexes and you know, smaller apartment buildings. They're also not widely in use because a lot of the properties are very expensive in California, so they may break past some of the limits for technical reasons. So smaller landlords really, especially if they've bought in the last few years when prices have been really high, are really dependent on rent. And that can put a crunch on recent investments. And if they don't get their cash flow, small landlords have told me they're worried about making their own payments to mortgages. Property insurance for the state is due April 10th. They have insurance, they have upkeep, they have utilities to pay. They have to keep the business going as well. So they are really feeling the pinch as well. And, you know, several of them have also said, hey, if a 10-unit building has seven people who can make their rent, please pay your rent if you can. That will give the landlords time to make arrangements with the other three families, your neighbors, that might not be able to in a position to pay their rent.
Yeah, Molly Solomon, I feel like it's worth pointing out that eviction moratoriums, these rent freezes, these requests from the California Apartment Association for landlords to be compassionate towards renters, it's really designed for people who have been impacted by coronavirus in some way.
These eviction moratoriums that are passing throughout the Bay Area region, you know, it's not telling people that they can't pay rent. You know, rent is still due. But if you have the ability to pay rent, if you're still employed, maybe you're able to work from home, like, you know, landlords are going to rely on that. And even for people that have, you know, been impacted by this, who are out of work, you know, if you're able to pay some of your rent and you can afford to do a little bit, you know, even that will help because, you know, like Lewis was saying and like the caller was saying, there is a greater ripple effect that is happening here, a web that is connected to rent being due on April 1st. And most of the moratoriums that have passed in the Bay Area, they are very narrowly focused on impacting people who are directly tied to these coronavirus closures or layoffs or having some sort of income reduced impact. You know, maybe you're a Lyft driver and your rides have declined significantly because people aren't taking rideshare. Those are people that this is really targeted towards. There are a couple of areas like Oakland, which is voting on a moratorium today that takes a much broader and I'd say stronger for tenant approach. They're looking to actually put a ban through May 31st on all evictions for any cause. I think the one exception there is if somebody is, a threat, a violent threat to anybody on that property. So that goes a lot bigger. That's their argument there is that we're in a public health crisis. People should be staying in their homes, you know, regardless if there's a reason to evict them or not.
And of course, also, I'm sure, driven in part by the affordability crisis that we've had in the Bay Area for so long. Let me go to Rose in Berkeley, who has a question. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I think you might have answered my question, but I'm calling on behalf of my friend Aja, who lives in Oakland. Her and her boyfriend have the coronavirus. She was laid off on March 17th. They were both diagnosed on the 18th, and they're very, very ill. And her landlord is demanding. He says he's going to come by on April 1st and demand her rent. And she can't heal because she's so worried she's going to get thrown on the street. Does she have any more of a defense?
Rose, thank you. And I'm sorry to hear about your friends. I mean, Molly Solomon, it sounds like that would qualify.
Yes, if, you know, I believe the meeting is going on in about 40 minutes at 11 o'clock is when Oakland City Council is going to hear this emergency ordinance. They'd need 6 votes to pass it. If it does pass, it sounds like that's a situation that could help this caller's friend. In the meantime, you know, I would say that your friend should reach out to different tenant resources that are currently available. East Bay Community Law Center is still operating, although remotely. We do have a list of resources that people can reach out to on our website at kqed.org. And those are the next steps that, you know, I would take. But those are heartbreaking stories. And that's, you know, this is what you're hearing right now. People are really hurting from this. And especially in this case, a really heartbreaking example of how this is impacting low-income renters who are being put in this situation right now.
Well, Molly Penny writes, does rent relief also apply to commercial tenants? What about small businesses and sole proprietors? Many have had to close and seen their income go to zero. Should they expect rent relief as well?
The Oakland moratorium does cover commercial rent as well. I believe it's focused on nonprofits and smaller businesses who have employees of 100 people or less. And yes, I think that is also built into another moratorium. Lewis, you might have to fact check me on this. I believe Santa Clara might also consider commercial
renters. Santa Clara County, Molly. Yeah.
Santa Clara County, yes. So yes, that is something that a lot of these eviction moratoriums are also taking into account, is not just rent relief for tenants, but rent relief for businesses who, as you know, we live in a very expensive region. And if you operate a business and you're having to pay rent, that's something on your mind as well. So some of these eviction moratoriums that are in place are also trying to keep businesses in their places as well and prevent them from evictions.
Well, Brad writes, I asked my mortgage company about forbearance and they said I could temporarily suspend or reduce payments without penalty, but then would have an additional payment plan once things go back to normal. My concern is returning to paying my mortgage and at the same time having to pay back the forbearance. Lewis Hansen, any thoughts for Brad on this? I mean, it's a larger question about all of these freezes as well. If your situation doesn't change very much, how are you really able to pay back after the fact?
That is a really difficult situation, and landlords have been asking for these types of mortgage forbearances. The state is looking at the mortgage forbearances for property owners in general. The details of it are still unclear. It's possible that I've spoken with one bank this week that the payments will be added at the end of the regular term of the mortgage. So that would give a property owner more time, perhaps years, to figure this out. But each of those details comes in negotiations with your lender, and it really depends on what your banker is going to how much they're going to work with you.
Yeah. Well, Tina in Pittsburgh is on the line. Hi, Tina.
I'm just a little concerned because I was saying that I live in a home that is owned by a person, not a corporation, you know, and everybody in his duplex is now either working one day a week or not working at all because of the type of job they had. And I'm a little bit older than him, and this is his investment. And I'm like looking at this with like fear and horror in my eyes. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs just because of this whole shutdown. I lost 2 contracts as a private contractor, as a nanny and a caregiver. And I'm also a massage therapist. I have to work 3 jobs just to survive in California. As a matter of fact, we've already planned on leaving California because of this. Like, as soon as they let us go, we're leaving. We're not staying here anymore. It was already unbearable before this. And it's frightening. You know, no one is really taking into the gravity. You said earlier, well, these moratoriums only directly affected people who are affected by COVID-19. COVID-19, the coronavirus, has affected everyone. I mean, everyone, celebrities, rich people, poor people, we're all affected negatively. And the majority of the people in my life and my family are either in the music industry. All of their money has come to a complete stop. I have nowhere to turn to.
Well, Tina, you know, thanks for sharing your story. And I think one of the things, I mean, hearing even the concern in your voice, also for the person, you know, who owns your home and has made that investment and you're not able to pay that person, you know, rent, right? That you're really pointing out how we really are all in this together, right, Molly Solomon?
That's right. You know, I mean, this is being felt by, you know, almost everybody in the country, in the world right now. And I think, especially when we think about people living in the Bay Area, hearing your story just now, I mean, it's, we live in an area that was difficult to live in before coronavirus hit. You know, this is a place where people live paycheck to paycheck. And I think especially for renters, that's something that really hits hard. You know, there thankfully will be some relief coming, at least with these stimulus checks, if you qualify. They've expanded unemployment, which is great, but it's really limited in terms of what people are going to get to need to meet.
And
all
it could
these
be
expenses.
Weeks before they get it, correct?
Exactly.
Molly, it could be a while, I mean, and April 1st is coming up.
That's right. You know, and the fact is rents here are high and people were barely hanging on with their full paychecks. What happens now when we're not getting those full paychecks? And I think, you know, we've got to think ahead too. This is April 1st that we're talking about, but there's May 1st, there's June 1st. This is going to be challenging for people to catch up on.
Well, let me see if I can get Gustavo in San Jose in here just before the break. Hi, Gustavo.
Hi, this is Gustavo. I'm really saddened to hear about the caller that called in about this landlord demanding payment on the first. I am a landlord as well, and that's not what I'm doing. My tenants and I go way back. They're like family, and we are working as a team to get through this because that's the only way to do this. Nobody wants to evict tenants. Without our tenants, we can't pay our bills. And we know all of our tenants are in the same boat. So I just want to say that the majority of property providers like myself are working with their tenants to figure out how we're going to get through this. I'm, you know, a true believer in God. I pray to him every day, ask for wisdom and strength, and we will get through this. I mean, there's no other way around it. We will.
Well, Gustavo, thanks for those encouraging words. Yes, we just have 30 seconds.
Nobody's talking about our undocumented families that are working very hard to sustain the Silicon Valley. Is there any programs for them? I'm curious about how we're going to take care of them as well.
More locally, I'm guessing, Molly Solomon, anything you can tell Gustavo?
I would just, like I said earlier, I would say that there are a lot of tenants' rights groups, and a lot of those tenants' rights groups do talk to people who are more vulnerable, people that are undocumented, people that don't speak English as their first language. I would recommend reaching out to local tenants' rights groups and legal attorneys that are providing free service right now.
And Lewis Hansen, it just feels like things have dropped. I mean, in terms of even rental listings, things like that. I mean, where would people go if they were evicted or couldn't pay for their housing?
Exactly. With this ban, it's you know, property owners aren't necessarily allowed to show properties to prospective tenants.
I mean, social distancing, yes.
Social distancing. So even just turning the key and letting someone in is not allowed. So it's very difficult. I hear from a lot of tenants who are struggling and feel, you know, as on the edge of eviction.
Such a ripple effect, Lewis Hansen and Molly Solomon. Thanks both of you for being on Forum.